Chapter 65. "Yes, Excellency," said Davidson in his placid voice. "There are more dead in this affair, more white people, I mean, than have been killed in many of the battles in the last Achin War." Davidson was talking with an Excellency, because what was alluded to in conversation as the mystery of Samburan had caused such a sensation in the archipelago that even those in the highest spheres were anxious to hear something at first hand. Davidson had been summoned to an audience. It was a high official on his tour. "You knew the late Baron Heist well?" "The truth is that nobody out here can boast of having known him well," said Davidson. "He was a queer chap. I doubt if he himself knew how queer he was. But everybody was aware that I was keeping my eye on him in a friendly way. And that's how I got the warning which made me turn round in my tracks. In the middle of my trip and steam back to Samburan, where, I am grieved to say, I arrived too late." Without enlarging very much, Davidson explained to the attentive Excellency how a woman, the wife of a certain hotel keeper named Schomburg, had overheard two card-sharping rascals making inquiries from her husband as to the exact position of the island. She caught only a few words referring to the neighboring volcano, but there were enough to arouse her suspicions. "Hitch," went on Davidson, "she imparted to me, Your Excellency. They were only too well founded." "That was very clever of her," remarked the great man. "She's much cleverer than people have any conception of," said Davidson. "But he refrained from disclosing to the Excellency the real cause which had sharpened Mrs. Schomburg's wits. The poor woman was in mortal terror of the girl being brought back within reach of her infatuated Wilhelm. Davidson only said that her agitation had impressed him, but he confessed that while going back, he began to have his doubts as to there being anything in it. I steamed into one of those silly thunderstorms that hang about the volcano and had some trouble in making the island," narrated Davidson. "Had to grope my way dead slow into Diamond Bay. I don't suppose that anybody, even if looking out for me, could have heard me let go the anchor. He admitted that he ought to have gone ashore at once, but everything was perfectly dark and absolutely quiet. He felt ashamed of his impulsiveness. What a fool he would have looked, waking up a man in the middle of the night just to ask him if he was all right. And then the girl being there, he feared that Heist would look upon his visit as an unwarrantable intrusion. The first intimation he had of there being anything wrong was a big white boat, adrift, with the dead body of a very hairy man inside, bumping against the bows of his steamer. Then indeed he lost no time in going ashore alone, of course, from motives of delicacy. I arrived in time to see that poor girl die, as I have told Your Excellency," pursued Davidson. "Won't tell you what a time I had with him afterwards. He talked to me. His father seems to have been a crank, and to have upset his head when he was young. He was a queer chap. Practically the last words he said to me, as we came out on the veranda, were, 'Ah, Davidson, woe to the man whose heart has not learned while young to hope, to love and to put its trust in life. ' as we stood there, just before I left him, for he said, he wanted to be alone with his dead for a time, we heard a snarly sort of voice near the bushes by the shore calling out, "Is that you, Governor?" Yes, it's me. Jiminy. I thought the beggar had done for you. He has started prancing, and nearly had me. I have been dodging around, looking for you ever since. Well, here I am," suddenly screamed the other voice, and then a shot rang out. "This time he has not missed him," Heist said to me bitterly, and went back into the house. I returned on board as he had insisted I should do. I didn't want to intrude on his grief. Later, about 5 in the morning, some of my calashes came running to me, yelling that there was a fire ashore. I landed at once, of course. The principal bungalow was blazing. The heat drove us back. The other two houses caught one after another like kindling wood. There was no going beyond the shore end of the jetty till the afternoon. Davidson sighed placidly. I suppose you are certain that Baron Hest is dead? He is ashes, Your Excellency, said Davidson, wheezing a little, he and the girl together. I suppose he couldn't stand his thoughts before her dead body and fire purifies everything. That Chinaman of whom I told Your Excellency helped me to investigate next day, when the embers got cooled a little. We found enough to be sure. He's not a bad Chinaman. He told me that he had followed Hest and the girl through the forest from pity, and partly out of curiosity. He watched the house till he saw Hest go out, after dinner, and Ricardo come back alone. While he was dodging there, it occurred to him that he had better cast the boat adrift, for fear those scoundrels should come round by water and bombard the village from the sea with their revolvers and Winchesters. He judged that they were devils enough for anything. So he walked down the wharf quietly, and as he got into the boat to cast her off, that hairy man who, it seems, was dozing in her, jumped up growling, and Wang shot him dead. Then he shoved the boat off as far as he could and went away. There was a pause. Presently Davidson went on, in his tranquil manner. Let heaven look after what has been purified. The wind and rain will take care of the ashes. The carcass of that follower, secretary, or whatever the unclean ruffian called himself, I left where it lay, to swell and rot in the sun. His principal had shot him neatly through the head. Then, apparently, this Jones went down to the wharf to look for the boat and for the hairy man. I suppose he tumbled into the water by accident or perhaps not by accident. The boat and the man were gone, and the scoundrel saw himself alone, his game clearly up, and fairly trapped. Who knows? The water's very clear there, and I could see him huddled upon the bottom, between two piles, like a heap of bones in a blue silk bag, with only the head and the feet sticking out. Wang was very pleased when he discovered him. That made everything safe, he said, and he went at once over the hill to fetch his Alfuro woman back to the hut. Davidson took out his handkerchief to wipe the perspiration off his forehead. And then, Your Excellency, I went away. There was nothing to be done there. Clearly, assented the Excellency. Davidson, thoughtful, seemed to weigh the matter in his mind, and then murmured with placid sadness. Nothing. October 1912, May 1914. End of the Project Gutenberg ebook, Victory. This file should be named VCTY10. TTXT or VCTY10. Zip corrected editions of our ebooks get a new number, VCTY11. TTXT versions based on separate sources get new letter, VCTY10ATTXT. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as public domain in the US, unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we usually do not keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. We are now trying to release all our ebooks 1 year in advance of the official release dates, leaving time for better editing. Please be encouraged to tell us about any error or corrections, even years after the official publication date. Please note neither this listing nor its contents are final till midnight of the last day of the month of any such announcement. The official release date of all Project Gutenberg ebooks is at midnight, Central Time, of the last day of the stated month. A preliminary version may often be posted for suggestion, comment and editing by those who wish to do so. Most people started our websites at http Gutenberg Nnet or http promo Nnet page. These websites include award-winning information about Project Gutenberg, including how to donate, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter free. Those of you who want to download any ebook before announcement can get to them as follows, and just download by date. This is also a good way to get them instantly upon announcement, as the indexes our catalogers produce obviously take a while after an announcement goes out in the Project Gutenberg newsletter. HTTP www.iBiblio.org Gutenberg ETXT04 or FTP IBiblio.org PubDocsBooks Gutenberg ETXT04 or ETXT0302009999897969594932921090. Just search by the first five letters of the file name you want, as it appears in our newsletters. Information about Project Gutenberg, one page. We produce about $2 million for each hour we work. The time it takes us, a rather conservative estimate, is 50 hours to get an ebook selected, entered, proofread, edited, copyright searched and analyzed, the copyright letters written, etc. Our projected audience is 100 million readers. If the value per text is nominally estimated at $1, then we produce $2 million per hour in 2002 as we release over 100 new text files per month. 1240 more ebooks in 2001 for a total of 4,000 plus. We are already on our way to trying for 2,000 more ebooks in 2002. If they reach just 1-2% of the world's population, then the total will reach over half a trillion ebooks given away by year's end. The goal of Project Gutenberg is to give away 1 trillion ebooks. This is 10,000 titles each to 100 million readers, which is only about 4% of the present number of computer users. Here is the briefest record of our progress. Means estimated, : ebooks year month, 1971 July 10, 1991 January 100, 1994 January 1000, 1997 August 1500, 1998 October 2000, 1999 December 2500, 2000 December 3000, 2001 November 4000, 2001 October November 6000, 2002 December 9000, 2003 November 10,000 2004 January, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been created to secure a future for Project Gutenberg into the next millennium. We need your donations more than ever. As of February 2002, contributions are being solicited from people and organizations in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. We have filed in all 50 states now, but these are the only ones that have responded. As the requirements for other states are met, additions to this list will be made, and fundraising will begin in the additional states. Please feel free to ask to check the status of your state. In answer to various questions we have received on this, we are constantly working on finishing the paperwork to legally request donations in all 50 states. If your state is not listed, and you would like to know if we have added it since the list you have, just ask. While we cannot solicit donations from people in states where we are not yet registered, we know of no prohibition against accepting donations from donors in these states who approach us with an offer to donate. International donations are accepted, but we don't know anything about how to make them tax deductible, or even if they can be made deductible, and don't have the staff to handle it, even if there are ways. Donations by check or money order may be sent to Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, PMB 113-1739 University Avenue, Oxford, MS 38655-4109, contact us. If you want to arrange for a wire transfer or payment method other than by check or money order, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been approved by the U.S. Internal Revenue Service as a 501c3 organization with an employee identification number 64622154. Donations are tax deductible to the maximum extent permitted by law. As fundraising requirements for other states are met, additions to this list will be made, and fundraising will begin in the additional states. We need your donations more than ever. You can get up-to-date donation information online at http://www.gutenberg.net/donation.html. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.